And now it's time for Madison's Mad Facts with your host, Madison Standish.
Hey, everybody, it's Madison. Welcome to another Madison on the Air bonus feature of Madison's Mad Facts, where we look at the way things were in real life back during these old-timey radio shows. In 2025, we premiered our fourth anniversary show, Robin Hood, taken from the Family Theater, one of many anthology shows which were very popular during the golden age of radio. So for this Mad Facts, I discuss the history of anthology shows, which attracted huge Hollywood stars, as well as gave up-and-coming stars their first big break. So let's jump in. I've noticed in the audio drama world, there is some confusion with terminology. For example, episodic actually means a series of loosely connected episodes. Therefore, no continuing storyline. That is your traditional sitcom, for example. We follow the same group of people, family or office employees, who have a different story each week. Same people, same setting, but their story wraps up at the end of each episode and doesn't carry on to the next one. Except for when you get a specifically notated two-parter, right? Friends actually, in its first season, broke this rule, and it was so out of the ordinary that the network required each episode to have a previously on, which was unheard of in sitcoms at the time. Episodic meant you could tune in to any episode in any order and follow the plot of that particular episode. No need to have knowledge of previous storylines. Somehow in audio dramas, people have decided the term episodic means you have episodes. Facepalm. What they're really looking for is the term serial, which is a story that is told over several installments, aka episodes. It is not episodic, it is serialized, which then leads to the audio drama world mislabeling the term anthology series. The word anthology goes back to ancient Greece. I'll save you the dry stuff, but basically it was first used to refer to books of poetry. But in the world of radio, films, TV, and even video games, the word means each different episode, season, segment, or short is an entirely different story with an entirely different set of characters. In audio drama, some people have tried to define it as standalone episodes of the same series, where the characters and setting are the same each episode, but the storyline doesn't continue, which actually means the show is episodic, not anthology. For our old-timey radio example, one anthology show we featured multiple times is the Lux Radio Theater. Each episode is a different film script with a different cast that at the end of the episode, the story is concluded and we won't see those characters again. In some cases, the shows will feature a recurring host like Inner Sanctum, who introduces the stories, but each episode is completely different with different characters. A lot of the horror and suspense series of OTR were anthologies like this. And let me tell you, those type of series were hugely popular. When the medium of radio started to reach large audiences in the 1930s, there was a desperate need of material to fill the hours of programming. We talked a bit about this in our Mad Facts from year two, discussing the golden age of radio. Go listen to it. I gave you a link. An easy generator of content was Broadway for many reasons. First, most radio was, at the time, produced in New York, so Broadway was easily accessible, often utilizing the same casts. Second, the plays would have already proven successes with audience by having a lengthy run on Broadway. And third, with the limited reach of stage, but the nationwide reach of radio, there was a completely untapped market of audience who otherwise would never have been exposed to these shows. So, win all around. Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the Air is an example of stage meets radio. The theater company performed for the stage, and then Welles and his partner John Houseman created audio adaptations of famous plays and novels using the actors from the theater company. Of course, the most infamous episode was their War of the Worlds, which our year two Mad Facts about the truth behind the panic will go into more depth. I gave you a link for that one, too. But for our connection of radio meets theater, the story goes the cast left the radio studio following the Halloween broadcast without a care in the world, going off to a rehearsal for their stage play, not giving the episode another thought until met by reporters after the rehearsal. Other anthologies were built around advertisers. One of the first series was The Collier Hour, which started in 1927 on the NBC Blue Network. The show was used as a way to promote short stories and serials from their magazine, The Collier Weekly. Back to Orson Welles, the original incarnation of The Shadow had a mysterious host, played by Welles, on what started as the Detective Story Hour, meant to promote the Detective Story magazine, showcasing different tales of crime each episode to promote the pulp publication. It wasn't until later that the character of Lamont, posing as the shadow who could fog men's minds, came around. Then it became episodic. When radio came to Hollywood, shows like the Lux Radio Theater moved away from stage plays to reproducing film scripts for radio. Because their studio was located right in Hollywood, they were able to bring in the actual stars of the films. This is where you need to step away from thinking of consuming films the way we do today to how they were available to audiences back then. Like, look at our It's a Wonderful Life episode. That film premiered in the summer of 1946 and came to the Lux Radio Theater in March of 1947. Between it closing in theaters and being produced for Lux Radio, the film was not available to audiences. We forget, with all movies and television being at our fingertips today, that that wasn't true of those OTR audiences, making anthologies extremely popular so people could re-experience their favorite films again. Now, there are too many radio series anthologies to go into, but the success of them can't be denied. Because when television started gaining traction in the early 1950s, anthologies were a huge part of the original programming. Much like with early radio, the TV anthologies were presented live, and the shows attracted older, established Hollywood actors who wanted to keep working and stay in the public eye, you know, to hopefully land further film roles, as well as being an ideal environment for up-and-coming actors. We mentioned in our epilogue of Robin Hood that the Family Theater, producing a wide variety of different stories each week, moved into television early on and featured James Dean as a new actor. William Shatner talks about this in his autobiography, Up Till Now, discussing how these anthology shows were his bread and butter when he first arrived in New York. Such anthology series gave new actors a chance at a one-off leading role that could showcase their skills and help them continue to grow in the field. And for Shatner, pay his rent and support his wife and child. But where did all of these anthology shows go? As TV got a stronghold on entertainment, especially in the U.S., more and more episodic series became popular with audiences. Not to say anthologies were gone altogether. There are plenty of examples of anthology television series. They just never had the draw as they did during the golden age of radio. But maybe they're making a comeback? Certainly, the American Horror Story, where each season is its own story, has reawoken the interest in the format. And definitely, there are many audio drama podcasts out there playing with the anthology format for their shows. Madison? Well, I think we're a hybrid of both episodic and anthology. We're episodic in that you can listen to each episode anytime out of release order and you don't need knowledge of previous episode storylines to follow it. Making our Sponsor Dude trilogy from last year a three-parter episode, not a serial. Note, Madison and Harry's storyline continues in each episode, but there is a bigger story being told that begins and ends in each individual episode, right? And we are also an anthology, since each episode has different characters at different settings, and, much like Orson Welles, we use a roster of Madison to embody different roles each time. You can't label me. Don't put me in a box. Well, overall, anthologies are always a fun type of storytelling. Little mini adventures wrapped up in a short presentation, satisfying audiences, giving actors a variety of roles to play, and writers a variety of stories to write. And if you look at any of the most popular anthology series, be it radio or television, the series can run for decades. Because they are always creating something new, with new creatives involved, attracting new audiences along the way. Kind of cool. Thank you so much for listening to my little history dive. I release new Madison Mad Facts as Patreon exclusives on the 10th of every month, and we'll be releasing the year-old episodes for everyone on the 15th. Okay,